There goes that man's
gotcha.
Oh my God, did you see that?
America's team? Yeah, right.
Oh, baby, it's a big day in sports.
There's nothing like battling it out with your teammates all season long to go win a championship.
Green Bay's got it this year. Huge move for him. I think it's going to be a game changer.
We have a lot to talk about this busy week in the sports world. Welcome to the In a League of Their Own podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's NBA segment. Jumping into it right here, All-Star game coming up very shortly here. The All-Star captains were announced, the starters as well, reserves to come in the near future for when the two captains do their broadcast at picking their teams. This year's captains are LeBron James, Kevin Durant. I guess before I go into kind of the format and like whether they should go back to what they used to do, do you like the two captains that they picked this year? Obviously LeBron's always there, but KD is kind of the one that I'm questioning just because he's not going to play because of his injury. And two, he hasn't played for a while. He's not even in the MVP conversation. Cause we were talking yesterday, he's like fifth or sixth best odds or whatever. I mean, is it more or less just, is this just for views, LeBron, KD? Like, because in my opinion, it should be, I mean, Embiid, Giannis, Curry are three names that I would put ahead of KD for a captain for this game.
Yeah, I fucking hate how they do it, honestly. It should just be East versus West. Or even do something different than the traditional just regular game where you score 190 points. Why don't they do like 3-on-3 basketball, like Gus Macker style, half court or something cool, like break it down like division wise or like do something different, do something fun. Like, yeah, the 3-point contest, dunk contest, all that stuff is where all that's at. So that's all I watch. I don't watch an All-Star game just because I don't like how the format is, because it's, I don't know, it's not really fair because you're picking players that you've played with or you're best friends with, and it's not people who deserve to be there. Like, that's why I believe that all Pro Bowl, All-Star, all of that should be a committee. It shouldn't be fan voting. I feel like it should all be a committee and of the most deserving people to go.
Yeah, because speaking on that, like letting the fans control it, I think I saw.
Yeah, dude, what was it a couple of years ago where a whole bunch of fans sabotaged and got some guy into the game who's like a bench player?
Yeah. Well, even this year, Klay Thompson. I think Klay Thompson has more votes than Devin Booker.
Yeah, see, like, that's not right.
No. Like, talent-wise, 100% prime, Klay versus Devin Booker, yeah, sure, Klay Thompson's a better shooter, better basketball player, but...
We haven't seen Devin Booker in his prime yet.
Yeah, and we haven't seen Klay Thompson, we've seen him play, I think, less than 10 games. I don't think he's played 10 games yet this year. So, I mean, in some ways, it's cool to where it's like, yeah, guys like that get in because they deserve, like, they deserve the respect and, like, they should be there. But also at the same time, you're snubbing guys who are having maybe a career best year. They're busting their ass. They played every single game. They're, like, doing everything they need to. And then a guy who has played less than 10 games gets the nod because, oh, he – is more well-known or people like him better, whatever it might be. Yeah, I like the committee idea. How like, as far as who, how they pick, like, what the criteria is to pick the people, I don't know how they do that.
Like, I was thinking, just as you're talking, thinking more on that, like, obviously, this is for the fans. That's why they do All-Star events. It's for the fans. It's for also the people who are doing it to be able to bring their families along and have the experience of a lifetime as well. So I feel like You keep the fan voting, but you also have a committee of people and you line it up. Does the voting meet the criteria that you actually need to get in? Like, not like a certain number either, because we'll get to this in the next segment, but I don't even know if the NBA is the same way as the NHL. One person per team goes.
No, because you could have multiple.
So in that way, I do like that better.
Yeah, because Clay and Steph for both.
But yeah, as far as criteria wise, I feel like there should be a committee that overlooks, and I don't know, maybe even have the players vote. Like, have the fans vote and then have the players themselves vote.
Kind of like how the NFL does the top 100. That's all voted upon by players.
Players, current and past.
Yeah.
People who actually played. Yeah. And that's what I mean. That's what it should go on. That same, not all on the fan weight.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so some way to kind of keep the fans in check as far as not being super biased of, I mean, that's another way too, that like Klay Thompson gets in Bay Area. Like, you know what I mean? You have the city that your team plays in, you have more of an advantage if there's more people in that arena. Like, look at the Bucks, for instance. Giannis is the only all-star that's there. You could argue that Middleton and Drew Holiday both have the skill set and put up the numbers to be in the all-star game, but neither will be there. Last year, Middleton was there. More
than Klay Thompson, too.
Yeah, exactly. But because of the small market, Milwaukee versus San Francisco. San Francisco area is going to have a shit ton more votes, be able to vote for the players that they like versus Milwaukee, who has 700,000-800,000 people, whatever it's at.
Yep. Yeah. It's not fair, too, just because even on, like, television and stuff, you're only getting local teams coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you're seeing something on, like, ESPN, a highlight, a 30-second highlight, you're not even getting a chance to watch half the people in the league.
Yeah, exactly. So,
like, how can you vote for all fucking 10 guys that you've maybe watched five mm-hmm. consistently?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it should, like, as far as the format, I think it should go back to an East-West kind of thing, too. And kind of, like, have a little bit of, like, weight behind it to where East versus West, whichever conference wins gets the 4-3 game advantage in the NBA finals. Like, I think that'd be something fun too, to add to it. That way there's more defense. The games mean a little bit more. Cause otherwise right now it's just whichever team, like the two teams in the finals, whichever team has the better record gets the advantage, which kind of makes, like, it's not a bad way of doing it. It's the better team that's in the finals gets the extra home game. But yeah, just things to,
is that playoff change. playoff record it goes off of, right?
No, regular season record.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you're a team that if you're a team that comes in as a 4, 5, 6 seed and goes the distance, you're not going to get it. You're probably not going to get home court advantage in the finals unless you're a 5 and the other team on the other side is a 6. But even still, that wouldn't work because the number 6 seed in the East right now is probably 8 games better than the 6 seed in the West. So, like, yeah.
It should be it should be playoff record.
Yeah. Yeah, or just, again, like in this case, to make the All-Star game mean more. Whichever conference wins it, they get home court advantage in the finals.
That's how the NFL is, correct?
I don't know how they do it.
Well, I believe it used to be that way.
Whichever conference wins the Pro Bowl
got to host. Well, NFC Rams.
No,
let me just check quick.
The Rams host because they're the higher seed.
Well, it was determined that it was in Los Angeles before the year started.
Well, the Super Bowl, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, that's just, yeah, that as far as like an NFC stadium or an AFC stadium.
Yeah.
That's just a bidding war. Whoever's got more deeper pockets to,
oh,
to I throw thought... around. Because it's been NFC for three, four straight years. Or U.S. Bank, Vikings, NFC, Bucks, NFC, Rams, NFC. The Mercedes-Benz Dome, Falcons, NFC. I can't remember the last time that it's been Hard Rock Stadium, whenever the last Super Bowl was their last, Dolphins. They don't really alternate between like, oh, an NFC stadium gets to host the Super Bowl this year, AFC next year. They, because I think it's been NFC, an NFC stadium has hosted the Super Bowl, I want to say the last 3 or 4 years straight.
Yeah, it was, I got confused. It was baseball that used to do it, but they don't do that anymore. It's just the record, regular season record.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like across the board for all professional sports, they could kind of add a little bit more weight, a little bit more, some more meaning to this All-Star game rather than just views and for fun. Like years ago, I mean, Pro Bowl 20 years ago, dudes would hit each other hard, like, because they want that extra 50 G's than you across the field, and like it means something. But now it's just tweet and touch, basically. But yeah,
and then on to my point here. After two fans were tossed in the game last night on the Lakers game, they were sitting courtside. We've seen this over the past, fans getting tossed from games, whatever the reason may be. Do you feel that the fans are too close to the court and there needs to be a little bit more space between the playing floor players and the spectators?
I mean, I don't. I mean, people are going to be pieces of shit no matter what, no matter how close they sit to the court. I mean, whether you're sitting courtside or you're sitting 20 rows up, you could hurt somebody if you want to. It doesn't matter where you're sitting.
Right. But I would just mean, like, as far as you look at every other sport and there's at least some barrier between where the spectators are and where the players are, whether that's a thin piece of glass in hockey or that's a wall for NFL stadiums or walls for soccer stadiums or walls for in the nets for MLB. I was just saying regarding like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of a way that they do it without like completely eliminating courtside seats, just because one, that's like more often than not, that's where celebrities like sit. That's like where like high value people get to go watch the game if they want to drop a couple G's and sit courtside and watch the Lakers or watch whoever. Once in a while, you get some nobodies who sit there that have a few too many drinks and get a little too loud and kind of make the game come to a halt and ruin it for a little bit. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of a way that you'd even like create a barrier that doesn't affect the game, isn't just because of like hustle, to where if you create a wall or something, a ball is going out of bounds, the like a hustle play for a guy goes like face first into a wall trying to get a ball. Like, I don't know. Like, obviously it's been an issue the past couple of years. It seems like every like once a month somebody gets tossed out of the game, somebody does throw something at a player, whatever it might be. It seems like it's been an ongoing issue that hasn't slowed down really at all for the past couple of years. But I feel like if they knew a way to make it safer for the players, but still keep it fun for the fans, I feel like they would have implemented something by now. But yeah, I can't really think of anything of how they do it.
I was just thinking of like the mesh netting that they use for foul balls in MLB stadiums. You can't even see that it's there for how thin graded that thing is. If you just have that around separating the players from the whatever, so nothing can be thrown, nothing can be whatever the case may be. And then on the bottom of it, obviously for players' mobility, for them to be able to still make a play and whatever, I feel like have it like a weighted thing on the bottom that where it can move. So like a player can still jump and still try to save a ball, but he's going to get saved by the net and he's not going to, whatever the case may be, touch all the people, camera, get hit by a camera, all that stuff. Like the net, that mesh is there to like help.
Yeah, that could work. I mean,
because all you got to do is literally take the courtside seats and move it 2 feet back, a foot back, and drop the net, and you're good. Like, I just feel like there should be at least some separation between whether it's a fucking rope, something. Like, there should be some sort of boundary of where the playing field is and where the spectators are.
Yeah.
Just to keep the peace.
Yeah. But I mean, in the case they gave me referencing, that was heckling. So like whether you're courtside or 20 rows up, you can heckle. You know what I mean?
See, but then I feel like if you put that boundary in there, you can make that clear. They're not touching you. They're not doing whatever. Obviously, if what they're saying is super volatile, the events staff will come down and escort these people. But you as a player shouldn't be able to go, hey, these guys out, these, whatever the case may be. Like, fuck, you're a professional athlete. I'm pretty sure you've been chirped before in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get over it.
Yeah.
And as a fan, you're paying however umpteen hundreds of dollars to go to an event. You can say whatever the fuck you want to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
obviously, if other fans have repercussions and you get in a fight with another fan or whatever for what you say, that's your own risk in saying whatever you're saying. But there should be that line there of where the game is and where everybody else, all the spectating, everything else is.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I could see that becoming a thing eventually just because – it's going to build into somebody's going to get hurt. Something bad's going to happen at some point to where.
What if someone charges the court and just tackles someone?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know, like, that could. I can't believe that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. I've only seen good things where a kid runs out on the court and hugs one of their favorite players and he's like, all right, buddy. And then they run back to their seat. Like,
or some drunk asshole stumbles out and falls right on the court, like in the play or something. Like,
but people have puked. Matter of time. People puked courtside and they got to stop the game and come clean it up. Like, yep. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to take something big to happen to where like, okay, we need to address this now before they make a change. Because I feel like that's what it always comes to with professional sports or anything. They don't want to put in the time or the effort or the money to address something unless it's bad. Somebody gets hurt, that's always what it comes to. Somebody gets hurt. when and where that is, hopefully it's not that bad, but I feel like that's what it's going to come to because there's been dozens of people getting thrown out, interactions that they haven't done anything to address it aside from, all right, suspension, drunk tank, you can't come here anymore. Kind of that's basically all they do. I don't know. I don't think that they're going to come out of the blue and be like, all right, we're changing it now. I think it's going to take something bad to happen before they do.
Yeah. Who knows when that would be. I was just saying as far as just implementing it.
Yeah.
Like just for player safety, fan safety. Yeah. That's kind of why I said it was just for the safety purposes.
Yeah. Well, sounds good. That concludes today's NBA segment. Head over to our NHL talk where we will highlight some of this year's all-star snubs and the Oilers making their comeback with Evander Kane on the squad.